Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
And this is your man, Professor X Factor. Please take a seat, take out your textbooks, and close your mouths because class is in session.
Man, class is definitely in session, man. I'm going to tell you right now, first of all, I want to give a shout out to everybody, man, that I was telling that he couldn't do the show. I'm going to say this on air. I care less if Blog Talk is listening, man. For the past week and a half, man, my show was not able to air. And I don't know what the hell was going on. And I couldn't get on. And people are blowing my phone up, man. How come the show is not on today? Blah, 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 blah. How come you're not having it? And you know, and I get it. People don't know. But when you get a million people at once asking you the same question, it can be overwhelming. And at the end of the day, man, I just want to tell everybody, I apologize on behalf of myself and Locker Room Talk Radio that we were not able to get online to give you the ignorant mess that we give you every year. So I just wanted to say that to the listeners and the fans out there. And, yeah, we got a lot to discuss today.
In layman's terms, it's all Gary's fault.
It's not my fault, man. Why would you tell our people that, man? It's not my fault. Why would you do that, Professor? You're supposed to be on my side, bro.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
I am telling the truth, brother. I is telling the truth. But we back on the air, man. You know what I'm saying? Just let everybody know. At the end of the day, thank you for tuning in to episode 38 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call is 858-777-8433. That's the number to call into the show. And let your voice be heard. Make sure you press 1 on your mobile device, and you will be heard. If you don't press 1, then we're not going to be able to hear a damn thing that you're talking about, and that's not good. So, here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio, Damn. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you like this, Professor. I'm going to tell you like this. Well, for those that don't know, Q should be coming on momentarily, just to let everybody know. But today, man, I think we're going to do something a little different. And let me tell you why I say that, because there was a lot of games yesterday, man. We're just going to go around the league, man. There was a lot of games, a lot of teams that should have lost, a lot of teams that had no business winning, a lot of teams that were like the fashion of how they won. Good teams are struggling against bad ones, and it was all over the damn place, man. All over the place. But I want to start.
How about them Cowboys?
Hey, come on, son. You already know that's where I was going first, man. How about the damn Cowboys, man? Hey.
Social media is quiet as hell.
Man, look, man, not only social media, man, has been quiet as hell, but a lot of people around the neighborhood, man. I was around, running some errands and stuff today, and a couple of Cowboy fans that I ended up calling up, they just would not answer their phone for some reason. Now, let me put it out there before I get into this rant. My New York Football Giants did lose. We lost to the New England Patriots, man. We pretty much got slacked. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't like it was a surprise or anything like that. But I will say this. I got to defend my team.
I think that game was a lot more competitive than the scoreboard showed.
And that's where I was about to go. I said, I'm going to tell you something. To the last quarter, man, we were tight into the last quarter. And it just fell apart. Now, like I said, at the end of the day, They are the damn Patriots. I can't stand their asses. Everybody knows me, know that. But at the end of the day, you know, what can you expect? I mean, you know, our number one receiver comes back, but then our running back is not there. I mean, I could sit here and say injuries play a part, which it did. But guess what? They played a part with the Patriots as well. You know what I'm saying? But now one thing I do have to say on that matter, and I'm going to leave it at that, is that, and which bothers me, and it bothers me, I just don't like, and this is probably, no, I'm not going to say probably, I'm going to say this is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about these Patriots as far as my dislike for them the way that I do. Because, you know, they didn't play well. They really didn't play that well. You know what I mean? Even though, yes, the score said 35-14, they really didn't play that well. Now,
they didn't.
What they'll say is, and what a lot of commentators, a lot of fans,
they'll claim that that's the only reason y'all were close.
Exactly, and I hate that. I can't stand that. Look, it's like when they do bad, everybody has an excuse for them. But let somebody else do bad. Oh, that's just the way they are. And it's like, okay, come on, man. Like, stop it. And this is why I say, you know, let's not move the goalposts for one particular team. I mean, for everybody else, and keep it stagnant for the Patriots. Like, stop doing that. And people feed into that, and that's what gets on my damn nerves. But at the end of the day, like I said, we lost. It is what it is. I got that. But we're going to move on to this Cowboys game. Cowboys.
J-E-T-S-J-J-J.
Yo, they lost to the New York Jets. Now, if there's any time that I love the New York Jets is right now, damn it. I promise you, I love them dudes right now. And in all fairness, I will say that the Cowboys, they were making a run at the end of this game, but it was a little too late. It was a little too late. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Hey, man, it don't matter.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say this. Of course, just like the Dallas Cowboys, are they a better team than the New York Jets? Absolutely. Just like I say all the time, are the New England Patriots better than the New York Giants? Absolutely. But sometimes, yeah, you could be better throughout the whole season. You can even be better throughout history. But that day, they were not better than the Jets. They weren't better that day. Yesterday, they were not better than the Jets. Exactly. The Jets were better than the And, Professor, I got to ask you, with the Cowboys losing three in a row, are they done? What's your state on the Jets, man? What's your state on? I mean, on the Cowboys.
I think they are overrated. So, like, I said it last year. I said it this year. I was like, there's no way you're going to tell me that Dak Prescott deserves to be the highest paid quarterback.
We talked about that.
And a lot of people felt like because of the games they won, like, but do they want those games on the legs of Ezekiel Elliott, behind the asses of them offensive linemen, and on the defensive side of the ball? Dak Prescott had very little to do with the fact that y'all were winning games, and that is just the bottom damn line. You know what I mean? That it just is what it is, man. Like, it probably should have took the contract that they had on the table and had it up there. It was fucked up not taking that contract. She took that contract. Because now they got evidence of why you don't deserve what you're asking for.
And you know the crazy part about it, though, son, real quick, is that, you know, we was talking about should Dak get paid and Dak get his money. And I, for the record, I have stated that, and, you know, I don't know exactly what I said verbatim, but I'm still along those lines of I think Dak should still get his money. However, he should not be the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. Now, I will say this again. You know, Dak Prescott is a guy that, you know, he can get out the pocket. He can scramble. He can do all those things. And, you know, he can throw on the run at occasions. He is not something that he's automatic with. But at the same time, Dak Prescott, to me, I think is a serviceable quarterback. I still think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's a good quarterback.
I think he's a game manager.
Really?
And not even a top-tier game manager.
Hmm.
That's what I think he is.
Hmm.
Like, I don't look at Dak Prescott like in terms of, like, Cowboys history. I don't look at Dak Prescott and think to myself, yeah, he's a Troy Aikman type of guy. We should make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can't justify Dak Prescott getting paid more. Dak Prescott getting paid more than Aaron Rodgers. I can justify him getting paid more than Brady, but that's only because Brady is one of the few quarterbacks that we know of that will willingly take a pay cut. So that
I
can't justify him getting paid more than, I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, I think, dude, like, no. I can't justify him making more than Big Ben. I can't justify him making more than Matt Ryan. I don't care if the Falcons always lose games late. I can't even justify him making more money than Andy Dalton. I can't do it. I can't. I can't do it, dog.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. Can you justify him getting paid more money than Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, wow.
Or Jared Goff, who right now is the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League.
Then Jared Goff, no, because I don't think Dak Prescott has as big of an upswing as Jared Goff has.
Okay, that's fair.
I just don't. I don't think his upswing is the same. The Kirk Cousins thing is debatable. Although Kirk Cousins did win a Super Bowl, it's not like he had off the chart numbers in the games he played in Philadelphia. And I tried to tell everybody.
No. You're talking about Jared. No. That's not Kirk Cousins. Carson Wentz.
No, that was Kirk Cousins when he took over for Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Talking about when Kirk Cousins took over for Carson Wentz. No.
Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota. What's his name to go?
Yeah, I know he's in Minnesota. I'm talking about when Kirk Cousins was in Philly. I don't know.
He was never in Philly,
brother.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you. He was never in Philly. You're talking about
who was
that? You're talking about. Oh my God, man! You just made me freeze.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, that's why I keep telling you.
Like,
that. That's why I'm like
even with like Kirk Cousins is that you like that guy.
Yeah, that's
like,
why. Yes,
I could justify Kirk Cousins. I could justify Kirk Cousins.
Okay,
I could justify
okay.
making more than Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? But there again, that's my point. Like I don't like that kind of comparison. Because Kirk Cousins is going to be paid on the value that he brings to the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
The value that Dak Prescott brings for the Cowboys may not necessarily be the same. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I get where you're going.
Like, I don't know that he deserves to be. I don't know if he is as valuable to the Cowboys as Kirk Cousins is for the Vikings.
You know what I mean?
Like, I just don't know.
Right.
I mean, and I haven't seen his ball placement is questionable. He looks good in play action passing situations, but he's supposed to when you got Ezekiel Elliott in an offensive line like that. You're supposed to look good in play action passes. You can run the ball down people's throats all game long. But, yeah, him telling me that he deserves to be paid more than Aaron Rodgers, that to me is insulting.
Yeah, that's blasphemous. I'm with you on that one.
As hell. I just can't, man. I can't. Like, Dak Prescott is a guy I could see giving him $20 million a year. But 30? Absolutely not. No. I could even see Dak Prescott making as little as between 15 and 20 a year. But when you start talking to me about $30 million a year, I need to see Super Bowl caliber winning numbers out of you. And everybody knows they're not going to get that out of Dak Prescott. Everybody, Jerry Jones knows it. That's why Dak can't get that money. As soon as they lost, we got to take that deal off the table.
Well, they lost three in a row, son. And I'm gonna tell you something. I was like, wow. And I never thought that the Cowboys would lose three in a row. But then I also looked at it now. In all fairness, is Dak Prescott the reason why they lost three in a row? So I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if he's the sole reason why they lost three in a row. Now I know the quarterback gets all the praise when they win, and they get all the mess when they lose. But at the same time, you know, people got to look at, you know, like we talk about all the time, the fashion or how they win or how they lose. And I'm not exactly sure if Dak Prescott. Now, like I said, man, it's sick in my stomach, man. I'm not trying to defend a Dallas Cowboy. I'm not. But at the same time, I got to be fair in my assessment. You know what I mean? To say, well, you know, I don't know
well,
if it's all him.
I mean, let's take a look at it real quick.
Okay.
And the loss against the Saints, Dak Prescott was 22 of 33 for 223 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. Ezekiel Elliott, that's where they died. They couldn't run the ball. Ezekiel Elliott had 18 carries for 35 yards. He averaged 1.9 yards a carry. Okay?
That
kills you offensively, right? And it also affects the effectiveness of Dak Prescott in the passing game because you can't run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The following game after that, they played, let's see if I can find it here, they played the Packers.
Right.
They put up 24 points.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers had 238 yards. Dak Prescott had 463 yards passing. But
okay.
He turned the ball. He had three interceptions in that game.
Okay.
Three.
Wait, real quick. Now, in that game, if I'm not mistaken, I think two of those were tips. Now, regardless of the fact that you did it, a pick is a pick. But at the same time, you know, I've seen a couple of those balls go through Gallup's hands, go through Randall Cobb's hand. You know what I mean? So I hear where you're going, but I just wanted to put that out there. But go ahead. Go ahead with the next game.
Yeah, but, I mean, in that game, they only ran the ball 12 times.
Got you.
Ezekiel Elliott had 62 yards on the ground on 12 carries. He was averaging 5.2 yards a pop. Why you don't run the ball more often or why you abandon the run, I will never understand.
Okay.
Don't understand. But that's what they did. That is, in fact, what they did. They abandoned the run. The game after that, let's see here, was the game against the Jets. They lose by 2 points, 22-24. Dak Prescott, 277 yards passing, but he was 28 out of 40. Zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. Ezekiel Elliott had 105 yards rushing. You still lost because you gave up 24 points to the Jets. But you mean to tell me against the Jets you were only able to put up 22 points?
So let me ask you this question. You know, I do my job very well. Is it Dak Prescott or was that Jason Garrett? Just even with the last game, they only ran the ball 12 times.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask this.
Right.
When they initially put the deal on the table, right?
Okay.
But that would have been somewhat acceptable to Dak Prescott based upon what he was asking for.
Okay.
I wonder, like, remember how me and Quincy was talking about them not calling plays that really put the Giants in the best possible position to win in an effort to justify them starting Daniel Jones, right?
Right.
I wonder if the Cowboys, to some degree, did the same thing to Dak Prescott to justify pulling that deal off the table.
Probably. Hey, man, you know what? It's not far-fetched.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like the guy is horrible. And even if that is what they did, do I believe he still deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in the league?
No, absolutely not. No.
No, I mean, yeah, I know you're the starting quarterback for the Cowboys and all of that jazz, but no, man, just be realistic. Please, Dak Prescott, keep it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who you are, man. You're not that guy. That's not who you are. You know, is he a good quarterback? Yeah, I think he's a good quarterback, but is he a great quarterback? No. No, he's not.
No, he's not. But it goes back to what I was asking earlier. Just like you said, you know, maybe they're putting him in a position to fail and to justify not getting him this money. Because remember, the same thing happened to T.O. You know what I'm saying? T.O. went through the same exact thing with Dallas when it was Romo and Witten, and it's like all the coverage, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not the coverage, but all the plays were designed to go to Witten instead of going to T.O. And he was like, yo, why are you throwing the ball in the middle of the field in double coverage and I'm beating the dude wide open? You know what I'm saying? I'm just not understanding it. You know what I mean? So
40 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I get that sentiment, but my thing is at the same time, you know, could it be possible? And I want to piggyback off of what you just asked. You know, so could they be sabotaging him? Next year is going to be a quarterback heavy draft. That's what is supposed to be projected. So maybe are the Dallas Cowboys looking to replace him, Dak Prescott, with another quarterback in the draft next season? But my thing is at the end of the day,
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Who are they trying to look at?
Right now in the draft.
I mean, if that's the case, you know what I mean. I'm not saying that this is 100%, you know, 100 proof. But at the same time, you know, Jalen Hurts, he's going to be eligible for the draft. You know what I'm saying?
Tua
is going to be available in the draft.
I think that Jalen Hurts is probably a lot more polished than what Dak Prescott was coming out of college. I think Jalen Hurts is a lot more polished. Now, that other kid that's in Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, No. I can picture that guy being a bust. I could picture him being a bust. I could picture Tua Tagovailoa being a bust. The Alabama Crimson Tide's offensive line in front of you, you legitimately have damn near all day to throw the ball. God forbid you be a quarterback that's capable of taking off and running. Yeah, you're going to look great. But that to me is like the equivalency of how back in the day Danny Werfel looked when he was at the University of Florida and had all of them world-class wide receivers and was breaking NCAA passing records. Didn't translate to the NFL very well because every receiver on your team is not a Pro Bowler. Like, every one of your offensive linemen aren't Pro Bowlers.
I got you.
You're going to get drafted to the worst team in the league. I think Dak Prescott in that regard is a very fortunate guy. Here's the question, like, if Dak Prescott had gotten drafted first the year he came out in the draft and went to the worst team in the league, do you think he would be having a conversation about whether or not he deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean,
Hell no, we would not be having that conversation. You know what I mean? Like,
I heard both of you.
I heard both of you. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like that's. You know, that's what I mean when I say, like, keep it in perspective. Try to be realistic about it. I mean, I get Cowboys fans rallying behind their guy. That's what I expect y'all to do. But just like I used to tell Steelers fans about Big Ben, and I'll say this till the day I die, Big Ben got drafted in a very, very fortunate situation. He got drafted to a team that already had a defense. He got drafted to a team that already had a running game. The only thing they needed was a quarterback that could play worth a fuck. And it was not Tommy Maddox.
Now I got you. But, and you know what? I'm not to get off the Dallas thing, though, but just touching the big baby. Yeah. You said, you know, at the end of the day, you are right on that. But in fairness to Big Ben, in defense of him, he did carry on that.
He has played his ass off.
That. You know what I mean? Exactly. So it wasn't like he just had that. And then even when that team left, and he still won another chip. You know what I mean? With a different team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
you know what I mean?
I get where you're going, but at the same time, Big Ben is kind of an exception to the rule. But I feel, you know, where you're going. But real quick,
here's the funny thing, you know, even with that, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't have that same thing, but you know what's crazy?
What's that?
You didn't have Santonio Holmes no more, but you had Antonio Brown.
Well, that's
you didn't have fast Willie Parker no more, but you had Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I got
like,
you.
You won with guys that are worse than the guys that you didn't win with.
Yeah, you know what? I got you.
Maybe
I got
I'm
you. One last thing with the Dallas thing, man, and I'm gonna move on. Should the Dallas Cowboys get rid of Jason Garrett, man? He's not up for renewal. This is last year in his contract. Should they just go ahead and let his ass go?
Would they?
I say yes.
I think he should have been gone last year, to be honest.
I think he should have been going like 2-3 years ago. But that's either here or there. But I got you. But moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the number is 858-777-8433. speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, boy, you stupid. Every time I used to win this out. The Pittsburgh Steelers did end up winning yesterday, but ladies and gentlemen, people who are listening, Professor X Factor is not convinced. The Steelers won 24-17 against the Los Angeles Chargers. I always tease Professor because he's definitely a Steeler hater. And at the end of the day, no matter what they do, like this dude, James Conner, he just would not give him any type of credit whatsoever. I've never said that James Conner was a prolific, perennial Pro Bowler running back. I think he's a good running back. I think you still can do something with him, but Professor gives him zero credit. None. Zilch. Call him a straight bum. Now, I gotta say this to you, Professor. I gotta ask you this. Now you said it's the Chargers. Now I get it this year. But the Chargers are not usually known for bad gameplay. They're usually always in the hunt, or they're always the front runner of that division, besides for the past couple of years with Kansas City. You know what I mean? Because Denver hasn't been that for a while. The Raiders haven't been that for longer than that. So, I mean, And right now, like I said, just like anybody else, the Chargers are decimated in different positions and things of that nature, and just like the Steelers are. You know what I mean? You talk about the Steelers' backfield forever, and I don't know what it was, man, but yesterday, you talking about some defense? They played some defense, man. And you know what I'm saying? Even against the Chargers, they still play better defense than I've seen them play in past games. So why are you not buying the Steelers win against the L.A. Chargers yesterday? Why are you not buying?
Well, you know, one, right now in defense, the Steelers are ranked 20th in the league.
Okay.
They're ranked 20th.
Okay.
The Chargers offensively overall are ranked 11th. However,
They
are 25th in rushing. I think that allows your defense to be one-dimensional all damn game long.
Okay.
But Melvin Gordon was talking about holding out. But you're 25th in rushing. Holding out for what? You're 25th in rushing. The other team that they beat were the Bengals. Fucking Bengals. Let's keep it in perspective. It's the Bengals. They just lost to the Cardinals. The Cardinals!
I hear you. I hear you.
No. You get no credit for that. No, none at all. There are college teams that could beat the Cardinals. And I mean that with everything in my soul. I don't give a shit about your coaching scheme or none of that. There are college teams that will flat out outplay the Cardinals. Kyler Murray did all of that running shit in college. And he's been running his ass off now. But yeah, you know, when you play against the Bengals. I wonder if Kyler Murray would have done all of that running against the Bengals when they had Vontaze Burfict. Moita. You got moited out there. You would have got murdered out there. But, you know, hey, look here. You can't run the ball, and everybody and their mama knows it. Everybody knows it. Melvin Gordon held out and ended his holdout. Because he was like, do I really have the numbers to be asking for this shit? Probably not. Let me go ahead back to work because they don't look like they're going to budge. But, I mean, come on.
What do you tell them? What do you tell them, Vaughn? Why don't y'all laugh on your own goddamn time? We got to go to work.
Sorry, we got to go to work. And move them goddamn bones out of the way. Like, dude, I mean, I get it. You're a Steelers fan, but that's in the beginning of the year, I said, look here, the Steelers, don't be shocked if they don't make the playoffs this year. Ain't that what I said? I thought that's what I said.
That's what you said, and I did pick them. I did pick them to go to the playoffs, and I did pick them to win the division.
Not even be in the damn playoffs. And sure as shit, they're going to be at home.
But hold on, Professor. I got to challenge you, though. I got to challenge you, though, man. Like I told you before, off the air, before we got on the show, I said, look, nobody anticipates, especially the quarterback. You know what I mean? Just like what Q did. Q anticipated 4 to 6 damn backup quarterback. Now, like I said, it's a prediction. But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, that's far-fetched. But, okay, it's a prediction. I mean, it's a bold one on top of that. But that shit ended up becoming true. So nobody expected
it. It absolutely is. It's already true.
And that's already true now.
It's already true.
Right. So what I'm saying is that I'm looking at
it. And when we talked, after that show, and he was giving his explanation as to how he came to that realization,
right?
Just based off of, you know, probability, it was like, well,
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. But the thing about it is this, and this is why I look at the Steelers situation in a different manner, because I really believe in my heart, in my all heart of hearts, you know what I'm saying, there's certain positions, man, that can get you over the hump. Like, for example, right now, right, we talk about Patrick Mahomes, right, MVP, right? Right now, it's neck and neck between him and Russell Wilson. But to me, I think Patrick Mahomes is, like, the greatest dude that I've ever seen, like, play, like, right now. Like, he's just fantastic, like, remarkable.
Yes.
But the thing about it is this. When I look at Big Ben, especially with the Steelers, he's the guy that usually that'll make or break or win or loss. Like, okay, you see what I mean? Like, he's the one that's going to determine if they're going to win or they're going to lose. Like, there's been a lot of games and a lot of years that Big Ben actually put the team on his back. They may not have won a Super Bowl, but he actually put them on their back. So before he went out, that's why I said, you know what? I get the Ravens, I get the Browns, which the Browns right now ain't looking too hot. I said, but yo, you cannot count out Big Ben. But when he went out, that's when everything went from sugar to you know what. So I got to believe in my heart, man. If Big Ben was still in the game, I don't think their record would be as bad as it is right now. I really don't think that.
I think it would be because they were winless. Wow. Was in the game.
They didn't win
until Mason Rudolph took over.
Okay.
And then the other thing we don't take into account is the fact that the games we were looking at last year, there were a couple of pieces that were there that just aren't there anymore. But the main one is Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. And Steelers fans everywhere, and I'm going to say it whether you like it or not, y'all swore up and down by the blood of the lamb himself, that Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be enough and that you didn't need Antonio Brown. And I don't give a damn what kind of a problem child you believe Antonio Brown is. There's no way you're going to get me to believe that you still believe that you don't need him. Because
no,
you
no,
absolutely
not.
Do. Juju was as open as he was last year, and I kept saying it. He is as open as he is because Antonio Brown drew a double team every fucking time. Not
right.
sometimes, every
right.
time. And he
right.
was still beating the double team, still leading the team in receiving. If you go back and look at the Steelers receivers' all-time records,
mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how quick he would have caught Hines Ward, the great Hines Ward. He would have threw Hines Ward the fuck out.
I feel you on that one. But let me tell you why. And you got a point as far as they lost. Because remember, Big Ben got, what, knocked out, what is it, week two? It was like week two, right? He only
yeah,
played
he
two games.
Himself out.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, right.
Yeah,
he only played two games.
Matters.
Okay. Right. But this is the thing. And this is why I'm going to disagree with what you're saying. Regardless of that he was in and they lost. Okay, everybody gets a loss. That's inevitable. But the thing about it is this. I look at Big Ben, and yes, Mason Rudolph came in there, and he did his thing the whole nine. I'm not going to take any credit for him. But just like anybody else, I can care less who
took
you
it back
are.
To the 1950s.
Right. When you got tape on somebody, when you don't have tape on somebody, you don't know how they play or whatever the case may be, it's new. So at the end of the day, you got to adjust. But my thing is that I look at Big Ben, even without Antonio Brown and all the stuff that you alluded to earlier, Big Ben knows how to play the position a lot better than Mason Rudolph. Because why? Because when things break down, he'll throw the ball away.
No, he'll Big Ben's decision-making is really kind of off the charts. I don't think he gets enough credit.
But that's what I'm saying. Right. But that's what I'm saying. So that's why I still give the edge
to him. He doesn't
have
the talent out. He doesn't have the talent around him.
I got that.
That
I got that.
To really make a difference. Because Big Ben can
I got that.
Good all
day. I got that. Right,
but
so
if you're throwing the ball to
saying.
Receivers that don't know how to get separation in the secondary,
right?
And Juju was not a burner.
No,
he's
not
a
burner.
Possession receiver.
Yeah, he's at best.
I think he's a good possession receiver, but he is not a number one receiver right now.
No,
Pittsburgh does
yeah,
not have a
yeah,
number one receiver.
Absolutely, I
think they don't have. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't have a number one receiver. They don't have a top-tier running game like they had with Le'Veon Bell. That Le'Veon Bell even gave them an additional receiver to line up out wide.
Mm-hmm.
You see James Conner right there. No one feels threatened. No one. No one. No teams don't look at the Steelers and say, hey, we got a game plan for James Conner. No, the fuck you don't. No, the fuck you don't. He is average at best. I ain't
okay.
seen James Conner
okay.
take
okay,
over not
cool.
one game.
Okay, you know what? Average at best, I can take that over a bum. I can take average at best. But you call him a
yeah,
bum.
I'll give you that. And I'm struggling to give you that, but I'll give you that.
Okay. I'm just saying. I hear you. But you know what, though, man? We're going to move right along, man, ladies and gentlemen. Mariota got benched yesterday, man, for Ryan
bum.
Tannehill.
Another bum. Fucking bum.
Against the Denver Broncos, who they lost to 16-0. Your assessment on that game, man. It's Ryan Tannehill.
Without Nick Chubb. Without Bradley Chubb.
Without Bradley Chubb, yes. Without Bradley Chubb. Speak on the professor, Mariota. Well, first of all, Vrabel said he's not going to pick a starter till tonight. I'm not sure if he picked one or not as of this moment. But the thing about it is this. I never really was a big Marcus Mariota fan, but at the same time, I'm not going to diss him either. I'm not going to diss him either because guess what? Marcus Mariota actually he did some good things, you know what I mean, for the past couple of years, man. And they were in a hunt last year. They were in the playoffs the year before that. So, I mean, I can't just say
thank
that.
God for, thank God for defense.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God for defense. The motherfuckers are 23rd overall in the league in offense and 26th. In passing.
No.
Fuck Marcus Mariota.
Okay, but wait a minute. You just said, okay, I'm going to throw it back to you. I'm going to throw it back to you, Professor. You just told me the reason why the Steelers, as far as Big Ben, didn't have Antonio Brown. Who does Marcus Mariota have other than Derrick Henry? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, Derrick Henry. No, it's not a fair question. Fuck Marcus.
Why not?
I mean, shit. Look, okay, so I'll tell you what. Say what we're going to do. I'm going to do it just like this. I'm going to go ahead and let this thing boot up here, and then I'm going to look right at his damn numbers and just tell you, oh, it ain't going to look at his numbers.
Professor, you there? Professor. I think, ladies and gentlemen, Professor's in a bad area, so while he's warming up his internet or whatever the hell he got over there, I'm going to continue speaking. He's still on the line. Professor.
Yeah.
Professor. Okay. We lost you for about 2 seconds, brother. I apologize.
Yeah. Like, my bad. I'm in Colorado. So Marcus Mariota against the Denver Broncos, right? He was 7 of 18 for 63 damn yards and 2 interceptions. I would sit his bum ass down. Baker Mayfield has better numbers. With no line.
Oh, Lord.
They
mercy.
Took Marcus Mariota out. They took Marcus Mariota out. And Ryan fucking Tannehill comes in and goes 13 of 16 for 144 yards. With only one interception. Are you telling me that Ryan Tannehill is better than you, Marcus Mariota? You're a fucking bum.
What?
You're a bum.
Well, how many rushing yards did they have yesterday?
Marcus Mariota had 2 carries for 4 yards. Derrick Henry had 15 carries for 28. They couldn't even run the damn ball.
They couldn't even run the ball.
They're trash.
So, okay. I get it, but you know what that tells me? And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. If you think he's a bum, he's a bum. But you know what that tells me? They couldn't do nothing offensively. It's not just Marcus Mariota. That means the running back couldn't hit the holes right.
I don't know, because I think based on these numbers, if you put Ryan Tannehill in, he gives you the best chance to win.
Okay. I mean,
144 yards to 63. He more than doubled your fucking numbers.
I tried, Marcus.
Marcus Mariota got bitched. Marcus Mariota got bitched in what, the third quarter?
It was the third quarter.
That Ryan Tannehill played a quarter and a half and more than doubled your numbers in a quarter and a half. Ryan Tannehill.
Wow.
With the same receivers.
I tried.
Same receivers?
I tried, man.
Did they change receivers when Ryan Tannehill came in? I doubt it. Ryan Tannehill came in and look all world.
We're going to move along, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, man, before I get to this.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. This is a little side story here, man. Well, not story, but side conversation I want to have with you, Professor. Sources say that Cam Newton is expected to be back at practice after their bye week, the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Carolina Panthers right now, they're on a roll, actually, with this backup quarterback that they have. Okay, and at the end of the day...
Stay with the hot hand.
Okay, stay with the hot hand, right? And I got you. And they beat the Buccaneers 37-26. Now, a lot of people will talk about before it's the Bucs is the Bucs, but then some people will say Jameis Winston is actually looking better than he has in previous years. Now, my thing is this. This Duke Allen, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback right now, he was 20 for 32 for 227 yards and 2 touchdowns, okay? Now, with that being said, if you say stay with the hot hand and you're paying your $100 million quarterback by the name of Cam Newton, and I got that too. But my thing is this. So my question to you is this. They said he's supposed to come back after their bye. Do you think this is the last season that Cam Newton will be a Carolina Panther?
Yes.
Speak on it.
Yes. I don't see him being there very long. And I'm gonna be honest with you. And it sucks to me that in my mind this is the most feasible place for Cam Newton to end up at. Mm-hmm. But honestly, dude, it makes so much more sense to me if Cam were to take his ass to Jacksonville.
I knew you was going to say that. You know, and I'm not seeing it.
I hate to say that because I like Gardner Minshew, man.
I like that dude too.
I like the stash. I'm feeling it.
I like that dude too.
But,
right.
Shit.
Look, you know, I'm not.
Put Cam Newton over there.
Hey, check this out. People who are listening to the show. I promise you, I'm not saying that just because he said it. Then I said, "Oh yeah, I knew he was going to say one or two teams." But the first one was Jacksonville. I thought he was either going to say the Jags or the Colts. That's what I thought you was going to say between one of those two teams. But I knew that Jacksonville was going to be the front runner of one of those teams that I was thinking about.
I wouldn't put him in Indianapolis because I actually think that Indianapolis is okay with Jacoby Brissett. They're a lot better than most people expected them to be under Jacoby Brissett. But I kept trying to tell people, I think Jacoby Brissett is a serviceable quarterback. I think that motherfucker going to shock some people this year.
You know why I thought Indy second? And I'm going to tell you why, as far as Cam Newton. Because there's another quarterback in their league who plays like him, and his name is Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson moves out of the pocket just like Cam Newton. Deshaun Watson can extend plays with his legs just like Cam Newton. So I was thinking to myself, if he does not return to Carolina, which I don't think he'd be back there next year either, you know, they will probably want a quarterback that has the same skill set. You know what I'm saying? To their counterparts. You know what I mean? So, okay, we got to see the Texans twice a year, and it's Deshaun Watson. It's a handful to deal with, but we got our own Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? And I like Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, you know, at first, I ain't gonna lie.
You see what I mean? And at first, I ain't gonna lie. I wasn't the biggest Jacoby Brissett advocate. I was like, I don't know about him, man. I don't think that he's that, you know, whatever. But he actually made me eat my words, man. He's a lot better than I thought he was. But if you have somebody like Cam Newton,
I can tell you this much. If Cam Newton goes to Jacksonville, I'm going to tell you what ain't going to happen. Jalen Ramsey ain't going to leave.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely
he
not.
Won't leave.
But you know what, though, man? I'm going to be honest with you. If Cam was to go to Indy, man, think about him and having Marlon Mack in the backfield. Think about that for a second.
As much as I love
Christian McCaffrey and all them dudes down there in Carolina, but like I said, my thing is right now, I think more than not, I think the Carolina Panthers organization, and I could be wrong, I guess this is just my opinion, but I think right now, Riverboat Ron Rivera, the gambler. But my thing is this, I think that the Panthers right now, as far as the organization is concerned, and I could be wrong, but like I said, it's my opinion, I think they're not feeling Cam the way they used to anymore. I don't think they are. I don't think that. It's like, you know, usually when an organization is behind you, they speak up for you, they talk, you know what I'm saying, they talk about you, they defend you, they, you know, I haven't heard any of that. Me either. So maybe it's like, to them, they're like, you know what? If we can go with this dude, Kyle Allen, and trade Cam Newton or let him hit the waiver wire or just eat the money, whatever we owe him left on his contract, and pay this guy off, man, like, maybe that's the best thing for us to do. I don't know. But it is what it is, man.
I can see Jacksonville. I could see him going to, because I'm trying to think of teams that have quarterback situations that would permit them to not be spending $200 million just on quarterbacks alone. Because there are some starting quarterbacks that really, quite frankly, could I mean, because there are teams that can flat out do better. I think that the timing for Cam is not favorable because of the amount of quarterbacks coming out in the draft.
Right.
And the prospect of getting someone new, someone young, and someone fresh. I mean, not that Cam is an old guy, but, you know, father time waits for no man.
Waits for no man.
But, I mean, you know, if I don't know where outside of Jacksonville it would really make sense for him to be. Like, I really don't. Like, I mean, I'm gonna tell you what would shock the shit out of me.
Come on, son.
It would shock the shit out of me if at the end of the year Cam Newton became available. I would laugh my ass off if Dallas cut Dak Prescott and went and signed Cam Newton.
No, don't do that, man. Why would you do that? Why would you say
because,
that?
No, and I'm gonna tell you why I say. I'm gonna tell you why I say.
Why would you
I'm gonna
put
tell
that
you
in the universe?
Because Jerry Jones has been known to tell players that their job is secure and then
right.
cut them. Ass
no, you're right. But I don't even
and
want
that
you put
motherfucker's a Hall of Famer.
I got you. I don't even want to see Cam twice a year, man. Don't even put that in the universe. Don't even put that into existence. Now, if his ass ends up becoming a damn Dallas Cowboy next year, I swear to God, I'm going to slap the hell out you. The hell out you. I'm telling you. I don't need that type of drama in my life. I don't need to see Killer Cam twice a year, boy, in that NFC East Division. Don't need to see it. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:51. We got 9 minutes left to show. I want to save this last game for last because I know Professor X Factor is very, very passionate about this particular player. So I just wanted to save this one for last. The Seahawks beat the Browns 32-28. Baker Mayfield. A lot of people are questioning Baker Mayfield's ability to play the QB position. Some people that love him, I like Baker Mayfield. I actually think that he can only get better. He has a tremendous upside. But a lot of times, you know, like Professor has alluded many times, that Baker Mayfield doesn't have time. He doesn't have time in the pocket, his offensive line. But there were whispers about his offensive line before the season even started, because you got to remember, we took their right tackle, the New York Giants. But with all that being said, at the end of the day, I have actually took the liberty of watching some of Baker Mayfield's play and some of the games even 2-3 weeks ago. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Professor, and I know you're going to argue me up and down about this, and I'm not saying that the boy don't have time, but there were a couple of times where he was in the pocket and he made wrong decisions, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him like, okay, I get where the Professor's going, but a couple of those plays and a lot of these plays, I was looking at like, okay, if you see that Odell is double covered, and if you see that Jarvis Landry is single coverage, why would you not go to Jarvis? But there were a lot of times where they were trying to force feed the ball to Odell. That was one of the problems that was happening in New York. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, I just don't see. I mean, I'm looking at it to where is Baker Mayfield? Is he a little shell shocked? Or is he trying to feed Odell the ball because he doesn't want another outburst like Odell did with us in New York? So, I don't know, man. Your thoughts, man. Your thoughts.
I don't think it's about him trying to avoid an outburst by Odell. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I think as his sophomore year in the league, him looking as bad as he does is somewhat to be expected. Like, most quarterbacks go through a sophomore slump.
Okay.
We look at the coaches, the interviews, and when you remember the playoffs? Yeah, Peyton Manning was the quarterback. Peyton fucking
Manning. I'm with you.
Like,
I know you
don't. And I get it. Now, here's the thing when it comes to quarterbacks. When you've got a quarterback that typically does not have time, because typically he doesn't, and he finally gets time, the clock in his head automatically speeds up. It just does. He ends up getting rid of the ball faster than what he should. He gets rid of the ball before he's ready to, because he is uncomfortable in the damn pocket. And he's uncomfortable because time is not a luxury that he gets more times than not. The majority of the time, Baker Mayfield is under duress and under pressure. But then, but like you said, you know, if you see that that Odell is double covered, but then Jarvis Landry is single covered, but then if your first read with Odell being the number one receiver is Odell, you don't really have time to look at Jarvis Landry. You don't really have time. And then if you do have time, you are automatically under the assumption, shit, here they come. May not even be anybody there. It's kind, you know what I mean? It's almost kind of like the boy who cried wolf. Eventually, ain't no help coming. Cause they, you think, we thinking, hey, like, shit, well, hell, they hear all the other damn times. I thought it was coming. Shit, I didn't know. I thought it was coming.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at some point, and I'm waiting, but at some, and I know people, quarterbacks especially, are reluctant to call out offensive linemen. Somebody has to say something. But like Quincy is, and that's why I have a hard time believing that Baker Mayfield is quote unquote overrated. Now, that's not me giving, as Q put it, but I mean me giving excuses or me giving the reasons why he's overrated. I'm actually giving you the reasons why we can't judge him on the same litmus test that we judge every other quarterback under, because all those other quarterbacks typically have more time than Baker Mayfield has. It's hard to gauge a guy's ability when his entire job is directly dependent on the five fat motherfuckers in front of him. And I don't care who the quarterback is. If they don't have a line, they're going to get jammed up. They're going to get destroyed. I heard one person tell me one time before, well, Barry Sanders never had an offensive line. You're a liar because you don't go to the playoffs with no offensive line. And Detroit went to the playoffs quite a few times with Barry Sanders. And he's a running back. I get it. Same concept holds true for him as well. If you think that some bitch is just running and making 11 people miss all the time, you are mistaken.
Okay, so
somebody
let me ask you
at some point blocked for that something. Yeah.
Okay, and so let me ask you this then, because you know I'm going to get on you a little bit. If that's the case, then you shouldn't call Kyler Murray a bum, because he has no line either. And he's in the same distress.
Kyler Murray is also a running and scrambling quarterback.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I get what you're saying, but the play calling has to change. One, because of Kyler Murray's height. And I don't know who.
And I agree with that.
Was 5'10". That son of a bitch is like 5'8". Kyler Murray is about 5'8". I'm 5'10.5". Ain't no way you getting ready to tell me that Kyler Murray and you got the same damn height. You're a liar. I know when they tried to claim that Troy Polamalu was 6 feet tall. And I saw that son of a bitch in Pittsburgh outside the barbershop going to the Jamaican restaurant in an Infiniti truck. And he got out and was like, yo, that's Troy Polamalu. I was like, who? I was like, right there. I was like, that ain't Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu is 6 feet tall. Like, yo, man, I'm telling you, that's him. That motherfucker's shorter than me. He's taller than me if you measure his height by his hair.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get up out of here, man. First of all, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Locker Room Talk Radio, man. And once again, our apologies for the past week and a half by not being able to come on the show. It's not us. It's the system. So Blog Talk, I'm going to tell you right now, man, get it together, man, because you're pissing off my head. But I'm going to go ahead and thank my brother, Professor. And I want to go ahead and thank my man, Q Drakeford, man. But he couldn't make the show, man. He had some personal things that he had to take care of. So shout out to Q Drakeford. And at the end of the day, man, I want to thank my family, man.
Q.
I thank my family. Stupid, man. That's on me talking about, yeah, you ain't gonna show. I had the show. Vaughn, I had the show. So just let you know. You know, say it ain't me. It's the other man. Man trying to keep me down. And this is G-Hole Day Ward. Stupid. AKA All Day signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.